time to go. Yeah, we are done. I want you to see that I need, oh, to be.
Hey, 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 hey. How's it going, everyone out there? Welcome back. Yeah, we're here. We're here twice in 1 week. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Yes, you guys are listening to the Carolyn Joe Show. Hey, how's it going, Carolyn?
It's going great.
Is it going great?
Yes.
How great is it going?
I cannot believe it.
Why not?
We have a special guest in studio.
A very special guest?
A very special guest for a very special Carolyn and Joe show.
I can see this guest perfectly laid out in the studio.
He's to my left. He assembled his mic stand professionally done.
I like this.
So that it's custom to the voice of Tim Trueheart.
How's it going, Tim?
Hey, it's going well. Thanks for asking.
I like that everything you have here is very specifically custom made for your liking. You got your own headphones, got the mic set up the way you do. I wish we had a better chair for you, though. That's the only thing. I wish there was a couch for you, sir.
We're on our way up. Either way, it's all good.
It's all we gotta. I guess we gotta pay our dues.
due diligence.
How's it going, man? It's been a long, long time.
You know what? It's been a long time, but I haven't gone a day without thinking about you two.
it's funny because, like, you know, like, we've been following each other. I think we follow each other on Twitter. I know we follow each other on Twitter. And whenever I see your profile pic on Twitter, I'm always like, damn, that's a freaking good image, dude. I don't know if anyone knows this, but I shot your headshots. And you know
True.
What? You freaking look pimp on the shots, man.
I love it. I love it. I appreciate it. That's the best shot of me in the universe. So thank you so much as a great photography student from ECU.
It's the mixture of the talent on both ends, in front and on the other
yes.
end of the camera. It was weird because, like, when we were shooting that and we saw those first images, I was like, damn, dude. And you're like, dude, I'm gonna have sex.
I'm sure I said something retarded.
Something like that. But I know, like, after you said that, me and my makeup artist did a high five. We're like, that's our.
You scored.
That is our dream for someone to be like, yes, I'm gonna make it. Really big.
That's a good headshot. And if anybody hasn't seen it, you check that out.
You gotta check it out.
Is it at Tim Trueheart?
It's at Tim Trueheart on Twitter.
Nice.
And just so you know, Tim, it is time for Carolyn Bilewski's news. Here we go.
Oh, it's my news segment. You guys, guess what is coming up very shortly? Baltimore Comic Con 2014.
And Tim, can you react to any of this news?
Okay,
as much as you can.
Can I get like an echo?
Yeah.
Ready? Baltimore Comic Con.
Wait, I missed it. Do it one more time.
Baltimore Comic Con. Yes.
It's awesome.
Friday, September 5th. Saturday, September 6th, and Sunday, September 7th. It's a 3-day show this year, and it's at the Baltimore Convention Center, and Joe and I will be there as Curl's Studio in Artist Alley at table A136.
Wow.
Tim, have I seen you at a convention?
I have not been to a comic convention before, no.
Never?
Never.
Never in your whole entire life?
I'm not against it. Not against it.
It's okay.
I have feelings about it.
I'd like to know about these feelings. After the news, we'll talk about
these. It's in B-more. You gotta go, guys.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is an awesome opportunity to not only just see Joe and I, but also freaking Riley Brown, Frank Cho, Amy Chu, Steve Conley, Jimmy Gownley, Billy Martin from Good Charlotte is going to be there.
Wow.
Freaking Andrew Peaboy, Gail Simone, man, the list goes on and on. Mark Wheatley, Tom Zeller. Everyone's going to be there, man. Everybody. Even Brian Jailglass, who was also at our panel at New York Comic Con called The Other Side of the Table. Same thing with Riley Brown. But they will all be at Baltimore Comic Con, and I have posted up the map where you can see table A136 in Artist Alley. So you'll be able to find us if you use the handy dandy map on curls-studio.com. That is very exciting news coming up, and we look forward to seeing you at Baltimore. Also, if you have not yet picked up Magic Bullet, please try to find a free copy. Magic Bullet is Washington, D.C.'s comics anthology. It's in a newspaper format, large format page. Everybody in the D.C. area gets a page that they have submitted, and it got accepted into Magic Bullet number 9, which is our Western issue, with a cover by Nick Galifianakis.
Tim, yes. have you seen that? Have you seen Magic Bullet yet?
Jeez, I know nothing about all this cool stuff.
Oh, man.
He's
but now
learning.
But now you do.
I'm a sponge, and I'm absorbing.
And we can give you a free copy of Magic Bullet number 9 as you exit the studio.
Yes. It's your parting gift to this.
Your parting gift. But I'm yes, ready. I mean, we will also have Magic Bullet number 9 at Baltimore Comic Con, and if you miss it there, there is a listing. If you go to magicbulletcomics.com, you'll be able to find lots of stores that have it, including two new stores in Nashville, Tennessee. One is Third Man Records, owned by Jack White, which is Record Store of the Year. They won a Grammy for that. Pretty awesome. And if you guys watch this show called American Pickers, there's a shop in Nashville owned by those guys. And if you look in the bins in front of the store...
Oh, they're labeled, too. They're on the cover of those.
For the East Nashville magazine, we took over your bins.
Yeah. And Tim, we did a little invasion in Nashville.
Really?
That's what we did.
Yes, a Nashville invasion. And so all y'all in Nashville can get your free copy of Washington, D.C.'s premier comics newspaper edited by yours truly. And Tim Trueheart is just learning about this.
Mind blown.
His mind is blown. And we get to talk to him for the rest of this episode. I'm so excited because he's a funny man.
So, I wish the world could see like the excitement in which you throw your arms about in the studio.
I'm
about
throwing
like this, like
the arms
when she's like Tim,
as if I'm
Tim
swimming.
Trueheart, and like it's like this big like parade. Tim,
he's
arrived. He's arrived.
Hooray. We're excited to have you.
Yo, I'm really
can you
happy
tell?
To be here. I can tell. I see that it was kind of like a sun salutation. I don't know if you do yoga.
It's a sun salutation.
I have no idea what that is. A sun salutation?
Like, yeah, I think so.
You meditate to the sun.
I like that name. I like that word salutations. The only time I ever heard salutations was in that movie Demolition Man. You ever watch Demolition Man?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the like, greetings and salutations. How are you today? And
that's Sandra Bullock right there.
In the
it's a young Sandra Bullock.
That's like the prime song. Yeah. Is it Sandra or do you call it or Sandra? Sandra? Sandra?
Dude, I don't even know how to say
it. Now it's like a...
Sandra Bullock?
Sandra
well, there's
Bullock?
An A, so it should be Sandra.
Why not? What is if it? Is an O? If it's son?
Sandra.
Sandra.
Yeah.
Sandra.
I think it's Sandra Bullock.
I think it's Sandra Bullock.
She's from this area.
Weird. I feel weird.
WNL.
She's from Northern Virginia.
Yeah, she went to WNL High School.
Really?
Washington and Lee. It's in Arlington, North Arlington, to be exact.
Oh man,
she was wealthy.
There's a lot of credibility coming out of the Northern Virginia area. I think.
I believe in it.
You believe in North Virginia?
Yo, you got to understand this. I know a lot of people. This is what's up. A lot of the people that I know, they're from the D.C. area. We call it the DMV for everybody who's listening from out of town.
And that's all people. That's the only people that listen is people out of town.
Right. So, everybody up here, some of my friends, they're like, I want to get out of here. I want to go to L.A. I want to go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I want to go to Austin.
But before we do this. First, we got to tell people what you do. What is there? If there's one thing, or if there's several things that you just got to say, like, this is what I do. I'm Tim Trueheart. This is what I do. What is the things?
What do I do? Oh, geez. You know what? I am I'm a comic.
There you go.
Comic. But, I do a lot of different things. I call myself the Renaissance Man, or I have in the past. I'm kind of trying to drop that moniker.
You know what's amazing is that, like, when I called you, I remember when we were, because you acted in my film, The Magic Trick.
I did.
And then when I tried to leave a voice message, it was like, you've reached the Renaissance Man, Tim Trueheart. And I was like, that's awesome. That's on your voice message. So now I know what that's from.
I think it still is.
Is it still there?
I think it still is. I won't change it. Same number, same voice message. Absolutely.
I've had my voice message for like 10 years, actually. It's kind of sad.
It's branding is what that is.
It really is.
That's all that is right
that
there.
Is branding.
That's called branding.
So as the Renaissance Man, that means you can do it all.
You know what? I said that's what the Renaissance Man means. It means they can do it all. But my thing is that, I kind of actually end up sucking at everything. as the Renaissance man.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I don't mean that.
As
mean
a sucking
that.
Towards what? What is the one thing that you suck at doing?
Mm.
Is sucking the word we should be using? Or is it just you're not
what
as
is the
capable?
One thing that you suck?
Maybe it's just not as capable of. Or you didn't achieve the dream.
I'm on my way. You know, like as a comic for me, I'm kind of like a lot of comics, and they have a chip on their shoulder or something like that. So then, like that's kind of what I mean. Like that would be like my joke. I'd be like, call myself the Renaissance man, but you know, Renaissance people are good at everything. Me, nah, I suck at everything. You know, something like that.
I'm
like,
actually really. I mean, Carol and I are actually really, really admirers. They're also almost in a way students of just the art form of comedy. But I've never actually put myself as a comedian, and I don't think I ever will. But I really truly respect comics and stand up or anyone who can do that. I feel like I can, if I really wanted. I don't know. I don't really
go
want,
on.
I don't really want to say I'm a comic, but I feel like I've had this podcast long enough that now I see a lot of comics are doing podcasts. It's like, does that make me into that world? I don't know. You tell me, Tim. You're the Renaissance man.
Yes and no. I think it does because you're doing this, and there's no way that when somebody does a podcast, their true personality doesn't come out. So, like, if you're a funny guy, you know,
are you telling me I'm a funny guy?
Oh, I'm telling you, you're a funny guy. Yeah, I think I'm. You know, I think
I always think that I'm just like an asshole.
An asshole. You think you're an asshole?
That could be your moniker.
Yes.
Yeah, you're delusional, bro.
I feel like I'm just sometimes I'm too honest, but I try to hide the honesty in like a twist.
That's the hard part. It's like Joe. He told himself.
Are you gonna take notes? You have a notebook. You're taking notes.
I don't want to forget something I was going to say. That's all. All
right, cool. We're recording
that's
it.
That's nice. Well, Joe told himself that he cannot tell a lie.
Yeah, I made this.
Like,
I made a
like
promise.
You're like George Washington.
I made in 2011, like if I was like, I don't know what my wrestling gimmick would be.
Right.
If I were to be a wrestler. And this is off the record. But like, I was like, well, what's something I can do? I was like, well, I don't really like liars and I don't like lying. Why not just be the honest man, you know, and just not lie?
Ah.
And but then that became like this big challenge of like, well,
you gotta live that.
I gotta live that. But also it's like, how do I tell the truth while like not being like, because, you know, whenever people, there's this moniker of like, oh, you tell the truth, so that means you're going to be giving people the bad news all the time, or you're the you're going to be the asshole that says that. I was like, there must be a way to spin it. You know what I mean? And then I started looking at like, oh, like people like Paul Heyman or like, you know, even Ari Gold from the character of Ari Gold from Entourage.
I love that guy.
There's a way of spinning like the truth. You know what I mean? To being like, you know, instead of being like, oh, you're going to die. Oh, I'm sorry, dude. You're going to die. I'm like, listen, you only have 30. You know, you can spin.
You're going to live for 6 months.
Yeah. Let's do something.
And you're going to be awesome. You're going to base jump and then die the hip.
Yeah. I think there's a way of spinning things.
Right. Yeah. Like the spin doctor.
But the downside of it is that some people don't want to hear the truth, and then that's Joe's struggle for the past couple years has been like, with certain people, Joe will tell them like in an honest, true way, even as a friend, what's up, but they don't want to hear it.
You know what? It's just called bitchness. Back when people don't want to hear that shit, especially if it's coming from their friends. And I fall victim to bitchness a lot, you know?
Yeah, this is bitchness.
I cannot lie. I don't like to lie to people, man. It's part of like my whole entire being. Like, literally, I am Tim Trueheart.
But who likes to lie?
You know what? Some people just do it, man.
That's what I feel like. Some people have no choice.
They don't have a filter. They just like, they think it's acceptable. And
there's so much to it.
They just don't think about it.
Here's the first step, Tim. Say someone has something in their teeth.
Mm-hmm. Do I tell them?
Do you tell them?
It depends how long I'm going to be around them and whatnot. But usually I would say six, 7 out of 10 times for sure.
Well, there you go. See, a lot of people won't do that. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will just let that go. It's the way you do it, though. You know what I mean? I think it's the way you do it. But there's a lot of people that are just like, a lot of people out there will just let them fall on their face and be like, oh, they're in laugh behind their back and be like, oh, they had crap in their teeth the whole time. It's like, well, you didn't tell them? What type of friend are you?
It depends, though, you know, like, because what if it's your boss or it's your first date, you know? If it's your first date and it's a hot chick and you're intimidated, you could use that to, like, make you feel less intimidated.
Or it's the conversational starter.
It could be. It could be what you would call, if you're familiar with the PUA community, Carolyn. I'm not sure if you are.
I'm not.
PUA community?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We got to tell the world, though. If I am, Tim.
You will be.
I got to tell the world. I got to tell the world.
You know why? Because you got to tell the truth.
Yeah, I got to tell the truth. See, that's the fun
true
part.
Too,
that's
you,
the
know?
Fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the pickup artist community.
Okay? Oh, okay.
The game. So you would use these things. Like, you'd be like, hey, I like your new haircut. You know what? I think you're almost hot enough to date me now. So it's one of those kind of things.
Just almost. Almost.
You know, if you're really nice to me, I might let you loan me some money. It's one of those kind of things.
See, here's the turmoil.
It's a neg. That's what it's called.
I have this turmoil. See, like, since I do, I guess, since my day job is, like, in photography and filmmaking,
mm-hmm.
it's one of those things where
sexy.
I have to, thanks. It's one of those things where I have to almost, in a way, be honest. I have to be honest to a point where I got, if say like, yeah, a girl is wearing, like, I don't know, you know, hot chick wearing something super skimpy. I have to be the one that says like, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. She's you know? A little too thick for that.
Or yeah, she's a little too thick.
Take off a little more.
I mean, that's an obvious answer, but it's like, sometimes you gotta be like, well, and this may seem like really asshole or douchey, but you're like, well, maybe a little less could work. And they're like I'm wearing just like stickers. I'm like, yeah. it's that truth that brings the creativity out.
You know what? This is your thing when it comes to your career and your profession. Yeah. You're all about aesthetics. So you have to do that. And I'm sure that you've already went through that as a photographer from, you know what? We went to the same university.
Yeah.
Because we are alumni.
That's right. All three of us. The triad here.
The triad.
It's the bang, bang, bang.
It's
the bang, bang, bang.
So, yeah.
I did not know that you went to VCU.
I did. I went there for undergrad and then I got my master's.
Or did too. I know?
We didn't do the master's. We didn't mess around master's.
I am a master.
You are.
You're a master.
You're the master of VCU.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's an art degree. What do you want me to do? I'm an artist. We're all artists.
Yeah, I don't count myself
as
an artist.
Wait, what was your
undergrad?
Yeah.
Yo, double major with a minor in African American studies, majored in art education and in crafts material studies.
Whoa.
Yo, I like went to art school. I had to go to art school. It was one of those things for me.
How come I never saw you walking around the Pollock Building? Or maybe I did.
I graduated in 06.
Okay.
I should have graduated in 05. My ring says 05 on it.
Were you there the whole span?
Like the whole... From when I got to...
Like five, 4 years or whatever?
Yeah. I didn't like stop it or anything like that.
Did you hang out in the Pollock Building a lot?
You know what? Only through AFO, which people...
So we might have missed each other by a year or so.
Possibly, yeah. Well, I got to school in the fall of 2001.
Okay.
So yeah. So that's when I got to college. And then I graduated in spring 06. You know, so that's what I did for undergrad. And, you know, but that's something that Trueheart had to do. Like, I'm an artsy guy. Sometimes, it's weird to say that.
So do you call yourself, I have trouble calling myself an artist.
It's really gross.
Is it gross?
Okay, this is the thing about it.
As a gimmick, I think it's awesome.
You know what it is? It's like, if I go out to, like, you know, I like to go to Whitlow's. It's in Clarendon. This is like where you want to go and talk to girls. Yeah. Like that.
On Wilson. So,
Whitlow's on Wilson, people.
That's correct.
There you go. Look at that. Look at that plug. Mm. It's where you go to talk to women.
You got to understand that. They're like, have you ever been playing pool in not the sandbar, but the room right before it where there's like Golden Tee Live and then there's like the two pool tables that suck? There is a banner over one of the doors and it says Griesdijk. It's a beer from like Germany. But every time I'm in there with a girl, I'm always like, can you just pronounce that for me? Because it looks like, if you're just like an American, you look at it real quick, you'd be like, greasy dick? You know?
And that's what it's meant to be said. Like,
and that's what Lozon on Wilson means to me. No. No, that's actually a place where we do a mixer once a month. Swingin' Tea. Swingin' Tea, that's me. Swingin' Tea's improv mixer.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So what happens at the mixer? Because... Okay.
What happens at the mixer stays at the mixer.
Okay. We can't talk about
this. I'm just joking. No.
Oh.
What's up? Yeah.
No, because like, okay, when we
what's up? Yeah.
Just for the listeners, I guess, history lesson about our history of Tim Trueheart. Joe and I recorded with Tim for Jellyvision a while ago, and then we also did Podcast Switch with them, and that was like probably over a year and a half ago.
I don't even know.
It was definitely not within the past year. But either way,
it's been a while.
But and I remember Jelly telling me about all of the improv awesomeness that, you know, Jen was telling me about, and I'm always like, oh my gosh, I want to go, and like in my heart, like I want to do it, but I never actually make enough time to actually do it because I took like improv classes at WIT.
Ooh, yeah, I can see that.
But I didn't like actually really use it for anything. Like I basically like did it in between jobs, and so then like I want to come back to it sometimes, but then like other stuff gets in the way. Like I'm not as focused as you are on the comedy.
Okay, well, you know,
because I have like the comics, the art drawings of the humor.
It takes all different types of people to make this whole world go around, right?
That's true.
And one thing is, you know, the cool thing is that we're all artists.
Yeah.
And this is
I'm not an artist.
No,
you
no. This
are.
Is what we're. This
you
is
don't
what,
wanna, this, you're a con artist.
You don't want to.
I'm
say
a con.
It.
I'm a con artist. That's what I am.
You are lying. You're actually lying now.
But
you,
I'm a con artist.
You're finally a liar.
Lying. I'm a liar.
You are a liar. Because
how can you say you're not an artist?
Because I'm a con.
Intervention.
Artist.
We gotta quantify this.
I gotta live the gimmick.
Come on, Joe. You're a filmmaker and photographer. And
a filmmaker. I'm a liar. There.
You're an editor.
If there's anything that filmmaking is, it's a complete manipulation of people's thoughts.
But you're an artist. You fit under the artist category.
Yeah, you're under the umbrella.
If that's true, then I'm living it as a meta world, as like the meta version of that. Well, my philosophy on the word artist is just like the artist formerly known as Prince. How he says it. People are like, so, Prince, do you call yourself an artist? And he said, like, no. Or he says, like, ask my friend over there. Does he think I'm an artist? I am whatever they call me. That's my philosophy.
That's such an artsy fartsy like terminology of what an artist is.
Why? Because Prince is awesome.
There's half cap.
But Tim, tell us awesome. About your improv stuff, because I actually want to hear more about it. Because I know I asked about it last time, and I know that you guys have like, or had at one point like sessions where you could drop in at
the Soundry.
At the Soundry, mm-hmm. But then that closed.
That did close, yeah. That was
and I was
ups
so
and downs.
Sad with that.
Oh, that was a blow to a lot of the hearts of a lot of people in this area.
That's actually how I like met Jen, and
for
then
sure.
I met you, and like she's awesome, and like we had like several shows at the Soundry, like counterculture festivals, and there was like a couple holiday marts.
Did you do any like art carnages or anything like that?
I didn't do art carnage. Mm-hmm. But I did like other shows, like they had like a holiday show and for around Christmas, and they had some other shows.
All sorts of stuff there. Well, that's the Soundry, and that place, and Jen Crawford. I just want to like say this right now. You know what?
She's your Jellyvision partner, right?
She's Jelly. Jellyvision is her thing, and I've been co-hosting it with her since like episode 6. And yesterday we just recorded like 141.
Nice.
Oh, thank you so much. And
I'll clap.
Woo!
without her, like I would not have been able to achieve what I've achieved in comedy and whatnot. Like she's been a very big support for me and a very good friend. So I just want to let everybody who's listening know you should follow her on Twitter and support her because she's a cool person.
Definitely.
She had a business and it was an alternative arts incubator. It was an old auto body shop, and what happened was they kind of gutted it out, and they turned it into this place called the Soundry. It had a coffee shop in the front, like a kiosk where you could buy like some like you know ceramic stuff, some artists' wares, and there was open studio space, and then there was a garage area, and then there was a stage in there, you know, and there was like another little spot where you could write. This place was a really great idea. It was in Vienna, and it just. You know, I mean, it came right after like the 2008, 2009. Yeah, you know, and it was in a weird spot. It was kind of in an industrial park-ish area.
Yeah, it was kind of like way in the back. If you didn't know it was there, you would never find it.
Yeah, she got into the post like once, but it was just, you know.
Do you think that's the problem, was the location? Do you think if you move, just pick it up and move it into a better place?
There was a couple things that I think it was lacking, you know, not to be harsh or anything, but we can't lie.
But these are just, yeah, you can't lie.
And she, you know, Jen is much harder on herself than I would ever be about like what happened with the Soundry. But ultimately, mm-hmm. it closed, and the guy who was renting it out was, you know what, he was a jerk. And
we'll see. Maybe that was the first problem.
I mean, you know, he was asking for a lot of money based off of like, you know, where he was offering.
Yeah. And being Northern Virginia,
he wasn't trying to cut no deals. He wasn't looking at it like, oh, this is actually good for the community. And look, you know, I'm actually, you know, I'm also benefiting in everybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, he like put the locks on the doors and they went to like work one morning and chains on them.
They did like a reverse sit in lockout.
Yeah, they did the lockout. Yeah. And it was funny because
was the stuff already in it?
There was a lot of artists' paintings and things like that. And Jen had to like work out hours where she could get in there and like take the work to her house or drop it off. People. It was a big fiasco.
That's not cool already. That's like sort of not really a good business sense.
He's a fool. You know, one of the things that makes him a jerk is that he's dumb. You know? So like he lost out because they ended up vacating premises, and you know what? He couldn't rent that piece out for a while, like months and months.
Yeah.
You know, so he just lost out on money. He was making money, maybe not as much as he would have liked.
But there was already money on the table that he could have had.
He thinks he could have had. Yeah. But he has nothing. You know?
So something's better than nothing, but he chose...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like, there are people out there that are just about those numbers. You know what I mean?
And they're not artists.
Yeah.
They're not artists, and you know
they're
what?
Not artists in their field either. Apparently he's not an artist in the, was the real estate world, or you know what I mean? Whatever that is.
He's one of those dudes that's trying to, like... make money off of stuff. He's the kind of guy that would buy a house, not buy a home, you know, and then I'm going to buy this house and I'm going to flip it. I'm going to flip this in 2-3 years and I'm going to make all this money and then I'm going to start pocketing this and then reinvest.
A lot of people do that though, but it's not out of love. They just want an investment.
There's some people that are dope at it. And yeah. My hat goes off to them. Like, I see them on TV. How good you are.
Joe used to work on Flip That House.
Yeah.
They did.
They would just flip a house. That's literally what it was.
They knew how to do it, though. You know? Some people are evil.
So some people knew how to do it.
Some people.
It's you know, for the cameras they make it look great, but like mm-hmm. In an hour long show they make 6 months go by really fast.
Like that restaurant show where they like, what is that one?
Restaurant Impossible.
Restaurant Impossible, and he like flips it in like 2 hours or something. It's like in 2 hours it's not gonna look that good.
You can't even clean it in 2 hours.
And they're working with a budget like the Restaurant Impossible, like $1,000. Like $10,000 budget or something like that. It's like, well, that's okay, but you know, you're cutting costs somewhere.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, they're doing it like cheaply, but I'm sure they like probably spend more time on it that's not on the camera. But it's just to basically show, like, oh, in basically, like, a day, we did this.
Yeah. Because
you can gut out a place in, like, a day. But either way, yeah, besides the point. So the Soundry is where we met.
Yes.
And that's a good place in my heart because I have good memories of that.
Absolutely. It brought together a whole bunch of artists and it created all of these connections. And then, you know, I think good artists, what they do is they meet other people and then they work together, they collaborate, they help people, and then they spread art around, you know.
I feel like, in a way, D.C. is a tough town. There's a lot of great art stuff coming out of it and, you know, marinating around the area, but I still feel like this, in a way, the DMV is still, like, not used to it. You know what I mean? And, like, this the outskirts, they're just not used to being known as an art. It's, community, you know?
This is what I was talking about in the beginning of the episode. Like, there's a certain thing that people that I know that are artists will say about D.C., and then they'll want to go to San Francisco. They want to go to all these other places. They don't look at it as a place where, okay, this is what's up. You got to be around people that are smart if you're an artist, because those are the people that are going to get it.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is, you need to have people that usually have money to be, they're educated. They have money. That's how that stuff works. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody don't come Twittering me and stuff about what I'm saying. Honestly.
Wait, what?
What are you saying? I'm saying educated people tend to have more money, and you know what? They have abundance.
Need a director. You need a producer. You need a person that knows how to facilitate money. You need the guy that has the vision. I mean, that's the way
they people discount what this place is and what it has to offer to the artist. A lot of the artists that are here, And I think they do that because of the culture that our city has. Every city you go to in the world is going to have a certain feeling to it. If you
exactly.
go to Natal, Brazil, okay, this place, you know how hot it gets when it gets hot? 85 degrees. Do you know how cold it gets when it gets cold? 72 degrees.
That's freezing.
Yeah.
It's on the coast, the northeastern coast of Brazil. It's beautiful. Okay, that's got a certain feeling. It is very different than Warsaw, Poland, my friends.
Yeah.
Now, like, D.C., you know what we got? We got a lot of people that are working here because of the Pentagon. They get security clearances. A lot of people were in blue and gray pantsuits and power suits yeah. and stuff like, oh, he's wearing a yellow tie today. That's a specific tie.
Wow. You know, so they went all out for the yeah, yellow.
I know. And that's the thing. They feel stifled by the city, I think. And a lot of these people, those weren't the, you know, they're not open to a lot of the arts, but it's on the way.
I believe it's
art,
on the way.
They get their art
the
at
way.
Like Bed Bath & Beyond.
The Pier 1 Imports.
Yes.
Yes.
Pier 1 Imports. Yeah.
They're like IKEA. They're like, wow.
But see, that's the thing is
how
like,
artsy.
I personally feel that it's on the rise.
It
like
is.
There's a surge that's on the rise that people who are looking at the old school of thinking what DC is, they're missing that like, listen, you may not have to live in DC, but look in the surrounding areas. There's a lot of stuff that's really bubbling over, and sooner or later it's really just going to melt into DC. And this stuff's already happening in DC, but you can't disregard that it is, you know, it is police town in there. You know what I mean? That's tough.
You know, it's tough action no matter where you go.
But it can happen,
for
right?
real.
Yeah.
For example, I was thinking about some of the comedians, right? I work at the DC Improv. It's one of my part-time jobs.
It's a great place.
It's cool, man. I really enjoy working there.
I've been wanting to do some sort of shoot some sort of comedy series in there, just like the film comedians, and have something where it's like a night, where it's like even if it's like an open mic, but be able to produce that as a show that gets sent out.
Let's talk about it off the air and see what we can.
Because someone's gonna steal it from us.
You know.
That's what's gonna happen.
There's a lot to be said about that,
but it's funny because that's
yeah.
the only that is the only show that I've personally wanted to do in our area. I've done music, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've done, you know, the other documentaries of like artists and stuff like that. And in my head, when I first got in there, I was like, DC has a great comedian town. It's a lot of stuff comes out
well,
of
you
there.
You got to smart people to have a good comedy town. It
yeah.
doesn't work as well when everybody's going. You know, it doesn't work that well in Saltwater, Utah, or bumfuck Iowa. It doesn't work.
Because there's a lot of agitation that's happening in D.C., and that does, you know, it does come out.
There's a lot of political humor. There's a lot of blue. It's a very blue town, comedically.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, nobody wants to hear a big, fat, black woman saying shit about her vagina in Nebraska.
That's true.
I don't think so.
But, you know, they're dialing it on the web, though.
there are people in Omaha that are getting down on that.
Yeah.
But the people that are like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to watch a comedy show at the local Chuckle Fuck.
Yeah.
You know, they go there.
That's
then,
a great name for a comedy.
Chuckle Fuck. So sorry.
Just spell with a T as opposed to a K.
Yeah. So, you know, back to like the comics in DC, there's a combination of things that a lot of artists, they need to do and that they don't do. And one thing is, I've learned this from being an entrepreneur. I've learned this from working at a comedy club. Like, the minute you start going out there and doing comedy and saying that you're a comedian, you know what you need to do? You need to act as if you are a professional comedian.
Yeah.
And that way, you can't walk around like an open micer when you're an open micer. You can't, because then you know what? People are going to treat you like a open micer.
Open micer.
You got to walk around and like, you have to have a card, and you have to have like, give your card out and have a mailing list to get people to sign your clipboard. And then you need to email them and let them know if you're going to be at an open mic, and let people know, and have a blog and have your stuff linked to it, so that whenever you do something and you post, whenever you do something on your blog site, you know, your website, you know, you send an email out to the people on your email list. And when you're tweeting and you ask them to follow you, you say thank you. You do a lot of that nice stuff. You friend them on Facebook and you build this. And that's what you do if you're a professional. And you need to act as if, even when you're not. I haven't even done that. I look at these people online and I say, oh man, this is a cool little Twitter thing. That's a funny joke. I found this funny joke on Twitter. Okay, who's this person? Okay, this is John Papa. All right, John Papa looks funny. Oh, let me go to his. Ooh, he's got a website. Mm-hmm, check this out.
Yeah.
And then I look at it, and this motherfucker hasn't updated his blog since 2012.
And you know, it's funny that people don't update anything, since we all know everyone has a phone that I can easily just connect.
Just show me your. You can show me what you're eating, dude. I don't even care at this point. I know you. I don't want you to show me what you're eating if you're regularly not doing it. But if you're not doing anything, start with something simple. But
Really, what you're saying is that like you are now, if you want to be a comedian or for anything really,
any type of artist, any type of business person,
you are now a business. You are now the entity that you're selling
your product.
Because you know what's also great about, because Carol and I talk about this all the time, because we feel sometimes people will get like not annoyed, but they'll bring the fact like, oh, you guys are always promoting and stuff like that. And
who's going to do it for you?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, well, no one's doing it for us.
Yeah. It's like, if you don't do it yourself, no one else will.
No one else is doing it. So you have to do those things. And it's almost like you have to do all the positions. Then in the future, when you get that backing or whatever, then you can hire someone to do that position. Mm-hmm. But you have to have already established that position that you know of.
It's going
to
make you a better business person and artist if you know all the different steps and whatnot. And how it works, you know, all the different moving parts.
And let's not forget the craft too. Don't forget the working on the comic craft. You can have
craft.
Is there some people that already have all that stuff, but then you're like, well, you're not really, you know, you're just like, yeah, but if only I laughed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at like some painters, I think painters are like that.
Yeah.
I think there's people that front load the shit out of their work with like all this conceptual stuff. And then notice I say conceptual, you know, because it's just some big con, because they know like there's people that are really good business people. And then they start doing art when they're like 55. And by the time retire when they're 65, they've already got this following. And now they're like artists.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're doing like some Rothko shit now.
Yeah.
All right. You're boring the fuck out of me. You're not doing anything cool.
You're not doing anything new.
Do you even believe what you're selling me? Ew, gross. You know, you're like, that's the thing. It's like so hard for an artist to be that business person. And for a lot of business people, it's so hard for them to not be concerned with just the bottom line. And then they want to fuck people over, maybe frack or do something terrible just to get that extra dollar, when, you know, you could be more ethical about things. And the thing is, you have to develop some sort of balance. And when you can get that ultimate balance, you can get the yin and the yang of your life right, then we'll get some good stuff.
I think so many artists, though, are, like, not good business people.
They're not.
At all.
You're not really, like, because they're for the art. You know what I mean? Sometimes money is evil in their eyes, too. A lot of times, like, no, we can't do it for the money.
But that's why artists need to support, like, each other, though, and, like, not even take jobs for free. Like, I see so many things that are like, oh, you get exposure, this is great for your portfolio and all that, but it's like, no artist should really take that, because we do need to get paid.
You gotta know your value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to demand it when it's time.
The sad thing is like, there's always going to be someone out there that will be like, oh, I can do this gig, and then like they get this gig and they're like not getting paid, or like getting very minimal residuals from it.
And the sad thing is
like, there's always going to be that person that will take the industry down. So I'm always in support.
Is that the scab? Is that the person that's undercutting you and doing the show that you said, I'm not going to do the show, so then the younger, hungrier person steals your spot?
That's what interns, that are always all those people. See, that's the struggle too, because I remember the fear of when someone's like, well, what's your rate? How much does it cost? And then I have to question myself, being like, well, what really is my value? Because there's a certain point where like, well, I'm not really that good yet. You know, there's always that time where you're like, I don't think I'm that good. And then you throw out a number, but then you start to realize, or what I start to realize is, once you throw out a number, it's harder to go up than it is to go down. So it's like, you know, it's like, I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? If you throw out a big number and they're like, okay, I'll take it. And then you realize later on that you undercut yourself. It's more difficult to be like, double that. Yeah. Now you're like the asshole. It's like, oh, now I want to double it. You know?
Well, you know, that's like such a true statement, and it's a big phenomenon, and it's hard for people to get over that. And that's literally why they have the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
And like the Writers Guild, because, you know, there are people that will, they'll do movies. They'll do their own stunts in a movie, and they will not take food, and they'll do it for free.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, luckily those industries have that. And like, you know, we don't, you know, I think, you know, as far as like being a visual artist, I did ceramics, you know, and I say, you can up your stuff every 6 months, but you got to do it like every 6 months. You can go up, and you can't go up that much. You know, you can go up like 5% every 6 months.
I mean, if the food industry does it. when you start seeing burgers and stuff go up like 20 cents every year and stuff like that.
It's inflation. You can't, your art would have to go up with the inflation that exists. And what do we got? 3% inflation. Your stuff goes up 5% every 6 months. People might not even notice.
They're probably not going to notice.
They're probably not even going to notice. But if you just keep at it, then, you know, after, like, I have this, my ex-girlfriend came over, hang out with me a while ago, and she was showing me some of her artwork. And this is the thing, she's not very prolific, so when she makes something, this is no offense to you if you ever listen to this, she's not very nothing against the podcast, just she's not,
yeah
I can
prolific
tell.
Like, as in
we
what?
Have to be honest, prolific, like we said,
prolific
we
as in the craft Honesty. Prolific as in the craft, or like getting the idea across,
production. Okay. So craft as well is wrapped into that.
Yeah,
she's not prolific, so when she makes this work, then she attaches all of this like monetary value, because she you know, she's only got one of them. She only made one.
Yeah,
she only made one.
She can only make one.
And this is the thing, when she went about making it, I was like, hey, did you sketch this, or did you freestyle this work of art? Because I was, because
what did you say, just like that?
Yeah, for sure. I had to say it in a specific way, Joe. I had to be tactful, which I think you worry about for yourself.
That's the best part, though. That's how you tell the truth. You're tactful.
And that's the key, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta be tactful. You got to take your damn time, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You know, but so I'm telling her, I ask her that because she just starts to create this thing and she works her way through. And then when she's finished with it, it took a lot of time. I was like, you know, you're smart. You have an idea. Sit down there, sketch it, make a prototype, make it, you know, and then you know what? It won't take you as long. And then you'll know how long it takes. You'll know what materials you got. And then you can go ahead and you can make those. And you won't be so financially, emotionally invested in this work and charge this exorbitant price for it. And I was telling her that. But this is the thing. I went to school for crafts. So this, let's make a distinction here with everybody who follows artists and stuff. When you go to crafts and you get a degree in that, they're just saying, make it good, make it 100 times.
Yeah.
That's what they're talking about. They're talking about everybody's going to be really, really good, and everybody's going to work really hard. So you got to like do certain things and be a business person. And I always had that. And that was when I was in art school. So like when I come out and I'm teaching my students how to make work, and I'm telling them like, oh, you got to make a series, change a little detail here, add a handle here, make a spout on this one, see which one does the best.
Yeah.
Now that goes in your series. Keep whittling, keep adding, keep changing. She doesn't know these things. Did she
come from that backing?
No, she went to school for fashion design. So
I mean, there's a lot of, that's a business itself.
Hell
too.
Yes. And you would assume so, but this is not Mark Echo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know what I mean? This is not, and everybody knows, if you didn't know, Echo's like bankrupt now and it's done, but...
I had all that gear.
No, I had rhinoceroses on my nuts, so I had them. But,
is it really bankrupt?
Are they worth anything now?
Yeah, he pulled an MC Hammer. He really did. He was buying like gold chandeliers for like a house that he built that was like $20 million.
See, there's the back end of being a business person is like, you know, that not spending beyond your means.
It's funny. It's ironic because he's Jewish, but we're going to make those jokes here. Yeah,
that's fine.
So it was just it was a thing where my... you know, Mark Echo, an artist and an entrepreneur, and like, you know, my ex-girlfriend, an artist, not really an entrepreneur, not really fully an artist.
But did she want to be an entrepreneur?
She wants to do this.
Because there is those people that are just like, I just want to make it. I don't really, you know, that's their outlet. And they don't want to go beyond that, too.
That's their catharsis, and that's the thing that keeps them
regulated. That's like the 50-year-olds that are like, or not 50, but maybe 70-year-olds are retired and like, I just want to paint flowers.
Yeah, it certainly is. And they're painting watercolor. And just so you know, this is the fucking most...
Are you about to dish watercolor?
I'm about to not dish watercolor. I'm about to let people know. You know what? If you're starting to be a painter and you start with watercolor... I don't recommend that.
Watercolor
is very difficult.
It's
relentless,
like the
man.
Most unforgiving medium.
Yeah,
like you mess up, you're done.
That's like when Carolyn started working with the brush pen. You ever use a brush pen?
I have not.
It's literally, you know, it is literally like, you know, you're doing watercolor. You're now drawing with a brush,
okay.
And that's how she gets her smooth line, and that's unforgiving too. So it's one of those things.
Watercolor, I think, is the most difficult medium.
I completely agree. And I would think about like how like a Chinese or a Japanese person would try to like doing like these sumi ink paintings. And I'd be like, what are you doing? These 5-year-old kids are learning how to paint cranes. It's super difficult. What are you trying to do to these kids?
That's part of the culture, man. They started out with that.
Yeah, they're just starting
They don't use pencils. They use brushes over there, dude.
they're like born like gazelles running out of the womb.
That's how they write their language. Just with a brush.
I know.
It's awesome, man. I wish I can do that.
It's like when the Maoris get tattoos, but not only are they getting a tattoo, which is bad enough, they're like hammering it in with like an ink
on
like,
their face.
Yeah, on their face. Too.
Is there something like with brush, or is there like a craft that you want to do right now that you're like, oh, I wish I can do that? Like, is there something you haven't done yet?
As far as like, well, I've went to art school and I've been doing art my whole life. So yeah. Like I have a very good understanding of what I like, what my mediums are.
Yeah.
Cause I'll tell you this, I'll tell you everybody's an artist, but you have to find your medium.
Yeah.
And not everybody can do every medium. Now, some people are really good race car drivers, not Tony Stewart, but they're out there. And you got to find your medium. Me, if I played an instrument, I never did. I'd be a percussion guy.
You've never played an instrument?
I bought like a really sweet Yamaha.
You got to try these keyboard. Drums behind me then. One, if you
dude, I wanna just ejaculate on those drums. Right on the cymbals. Ding! My snare. You know,
I'd be like, wow, it has a warm sound now. That's the key.
That is the resonance. That's
the Renaissance wet sound.
Juice.
Yeah.
Dude, man, you gotta load on my bass, bro. So
we tell this story like 10 years from now after you're like this awesome drummer, you're like, how did you get this sound, Tim? Like, well, one day I just let it all out.
I just let it all out. I released my inner Barker.
And that's how it is.
It was probably that one-handed dude from Def Leppard is actually my inner drummer. But anyway, you know, you gotta find your medium. I know for me, I blew glass in college.
Did you really? That's
it's sexy, dude. I was trying to do sexy shit.
I only see that like at like amusement parks, like at Disneyland, uh-huh. Where you got the dude
yeah.
blowing glass. I was like, wow, that's
like Venetian style glass.
I always yeah. wondered like how people actually do that for a living.
I don't even know how you blow glass. You're literally blowing glass, like yeah. you're blowing into a tube and
you're blowing yeah. into a hollow tube. It's a metal rod. It's a blowpipe. And then and you're filling it with air, and then you're just working against like the air pressure, and it's cooling at the same time, and you just got to keep rotating wow. the blowpipe. And you know, it's essentially like you're wheel throwing in ceramics, but you actually have to hold the bar and work against gravity at the same exact time while you're maintaining a heat that keeps the piece workable.
See, I feel like your crafts don't get enough credit. I feel like my crap, like my work gets too much credit because of the glamour. Because I feel like you guys can like
this
that's
is
hand. That's like that's stuff that's like it's once it's made, it's forever made. You know what I mean?
Oh well, you know what the thing is. This is what I always tell my students is that if you work in like glass or you work in ceramics, that this is extremely archival work. Like
yeah.
you know, let's say everybody's going to the cloud right now. You know what? With their media and whatnot. Let's say that there's somebody just drops an EMP on the whole entire city and goes.
Exactly.
Donk your whole fucking system, bro.
I call it, we live in a deletable society. That's what we are, mm-hmm. deletable society.
Nobody knows how good you are at your fucking Instagram, bitch. You know what? But guess what? I made this fucking pottery, and it's going to be here when the fucking long-legged nanonancers come in 4,020.
Yeah.
It's still going to be fucking here. You know why? Because it's silica-based, bitch. And
that's
you don't,
right.
You don't fuck with it, because I'm fucking with shit that the Earth's crust is made from. And that's why it's so much better than a painting. And, you know, and it's also functional, dog. And that's another thing that comes in crafts. I'm going to make something that you can use. You want to make art for art's sake? I'm going to make some shit that you can use, and you're going to use it all the time. And it's also going to be beautiful.
And that's what I like about it. You know,
that's what
it's,
I love about
you know,
it.
It's functional. It's not a waste of time. That's what I say. It's not a waste of time.
You know what? And then the other thing is, in my personal opinion, there's this really great book. I can't remember the name of it. I saw it in a bookstore. I didn't buy it. Don't let that happen to you guys. But it's essentially the idea is that all art is catharsis. All of it. And you know, there's like things where people will paint certain things, you know, to communicate this message or get this time of their life out on the canvas. And then there's just like, let's just completely give in to this repetitive motion that creates this form. Let's just do that. It's mindless. It's even less. It's more mindless than the other stuff.
And we can bring it back even to like now our, you know, that we live in the DC area. A lot of people are like, no, I don't want anything to take up space anymore. You know what I mean? They're like,
everyone's downsizing. Like, yeah. They don't want their record collections.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want books.
They don't want to be those hoarders on the show.
Yeah. So now it's like, now it's almost like a culture is like fighting. You know, it's like now it's like, let's go green by not using anything. But we want to have things that we can hold and touch. No, we don't need that.
See,
you know?
I have something against kind of the go green movement with like anti-paper. Mm-hmm. It's like all of these cell phones, everyone's getting a new cell phone every 2 years and everyone's getting a laptop or a computer and all that. Plus the energy that it takes, you know, from every, you know, like this whole energy,
absolutely,
like scientific stuff. It's like plus the plastic and the materials and all the energy that actually goes into making the physical device. And now everyone's like, I want the iPad and all this and that. And all of those devices, isn't that like gonna F up the environment?
I mean,
too?
It's not like a nuclear power plant could melt down or anything.
I hope.
But it's just like, to me, that's like, it's like, still, I understand, like, they don't want to cut the trees for the paper, but then it's like, but now you're creating this whole other, like, monster that's also bad for the environment.
It's, you know, and it's, like, one door closes and then, like, another door opens, and, like, you know, with new, you know, new frontiers, there's new problems. Like,
yes.
The only thing we got right now, I think, for the book is, and like, I'm sure, like, you'll maybe agree with me on this. So all the books are becoming ebooks and digital. We have these books now. Now the books have to become art, you know? And now they're going to make these things that this is going on my coffee table.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's a texture to it. Oh my God, it's got fur.
Yeah.
And then you flip it over and it's a pop-up book. It's scratch and sniff.
Mm-hmm.
It's got like, you know, it's literally like these are prints. Oh my God, the book has got like matted and like, you know, prints in the book.
Yeah.
That's what's up next.
Yeah.
That's what makes
it's like specialty books.
Yeah, that's what makes it special. It is, you have to make it special and real life special.
And there's 1,000 of them and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it's coming down to. A lot of people are saying like, oh, no one's going to go to the movies because, you know, you can see it in your own house. But it's like, how do you make that special? 3D came in. That's how they sort of made that special again.
They're actually going to be doing, there's actually like an app you can get. So when you're in your home theater, you can make it sound like black people are talking over the film.
That's great.
Because people want that, man.
But I already talk like that.
Jump, nigga, jump! Oh, shit! You knew he will go get
eaten. You know I'm allowed to say that word. I got a pass.
You certainly do. You're
a
brown
pass.
Man.
That's right. That's right. With a little bit of red.
We haven't even talked about my ethnicity. I'm all sorts of things.
Are you really all sorts? We gotta get to that in the next show. You want to join us for another one next week?
I do.
All right, man.
Yes.
Well, I definitely think we're just gonna continue this. You guys should tune in until next week's show. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to wrap it. Wrap this up, Tim.
Wrap it up.
Tim,
yes.
Tell the world where they can find you.
If you want to find me regularly, you can find me anytime you want on Twitter at TimTrueHeart. Tim Trueheart.
Woo!
What can they expect from you on Twitter?
Oh, my God.
You are hilarious on there.
Hey, thank you so much.
I think you are hilarious.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Your type of comedy is the type of comedy I like. It's because it's like you have that line. There's a line that this, you know, that people somehow created, and then you're like five steps beyond this line.
I cross it.
And then that's where the real comedy is.
I'm not afraid, man. I'm brave.
Brave.
You know, you're gonna get inspirational quotes. You're gonna get stuff about my relationships. You're gonna get handcrafted dick jokes for your amusement. That's what you're gonna get at Tim Trueheart.
Nice, nice. Everyone should definitely check him out there, because it's. It'll make your day. I swear to you, it'll make your day.
I got a lot for you.
Yeah. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work at joecarabeo.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. And also, hey, Tim did a film with me. It's called The Magic Trick. You can check that out at one-shots.com. It's pretty amazing. Tim is an awesome actor.
Thanks.
Next film, I'm going to give you some lines.
That'll
be the best. That'll be the best. Check out Carolyn. Karen Bolesky comics. We're both comics. We're all comics. But her comic strip, you can check it out every Monday, curlsheavenstudio.com/curls. What else we got, Karen?
Again, you can check out Magic Bullet number 9 at Baltimore Comic Con, and Joe and I will be at Baltimore Comic Con at table A136 in Artist Alley, and that is September 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Baltimore Convention Center. So find out all the information at curls-studio.com.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is this week's episode. Tim, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to see you next week, right?
Absolutely.
We're going to continue this craziness like we usually do, right?
All right.
Part two.
Stay tuned next week, part two, because my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for listening. Be excellent to each other, and we'll catch you later.
Laters.